From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
A live look inside Everbank Field at the U.S. Assure Club. Improvements well underway. Concrete being removed. And very soon, by the regular, by the preseason, we'll have a brand new U.S. Assure Club on each side of Everbank Field. We welcome you inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field for Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with you. We'll get to John Osier coming up. What's up today, though? Alan Hearns is with us. Jaguars wide receiver joins us in studio. We'll play a little This or That with Brian Sexton coming up. And ESPN NFL insider Adam Kaplan will join us over the phone. And we welcome in Alan Hearns. What's up? How we doing? Happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing well. Let's start off with social media. Let's go to the first question today on social media early from Kyle Turr. Who do you have winning your March Madness bracket? It's underway. The tournament has started.
You know I got to ride with my Canes no matter what. Through it all, I think this is the year for us. If we're going to do it big, this got to be the year.
So where, I mean... Final four or bust? Final eight? What's a disappointment?
All the way.
All the way.
All the way.
All the way.
I'm taking them.
Taking the Canes. All right. Well, that's not really too surprising, I guess.
Not at all.
The offseason, rolling along, your recovery process from the sports hernia surgery, how's it going so far?
It's going really well. You know, it's exciting, you know, just to see me progressing. But it's a good idea because, you know, I don't have to rush things because the season's not coming up very quick. So I'm just taking things slowly, getting into the routine of things as far as taking care of my body, stretching, doing more with my abs and things like that. So I'm getting into it.
I talked to you from the Super Bowl, and it was really the first time I think that you had talked a whole lot about how extreme your injury was and what you were playing through. But for the people watching here, how much were you going through? And it was not a given that you were going to be on the field every week, right?
For sure. You know, it was really tough. You know, the hardest part was warming up, getting into it. You know, like I said before when I told you, it was games where I was warming up where I was saying, I don't know if I'm going to make it this game. So each week, I was just playing it week by week. I don't know how far I was going to go. And when I had the issue, I didn't know if I was going to finish the season or not. So it was week by week. It was very tough.
Now, by the end of the season, after it was over with, did you finally look back and say, man, I made it through that? Because you don't let on about it a whole lot, but it's a taxing thing mentally and physically to go through something like that.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, after the season, I looked at it about me able to fight through that, and it meant a lot. You know, A-Rob, he'd been talking to me like, come on, we got to fight through. So he helped me a lot with that. You know, he knew what I was going through, and he felt my pain. So that relationship, he motivated me to go out there each week and be out there on the field with him.
Now, you love to work. Are you looking forward to being able to work full after a while of not being able to work very? I mean, I know you worked hard, but I assume you'll be more effective, healthy this offseason.
Sure. You know, practice, that's where the greatness happens, you know, as far as just getting down routine things, route running, and things like that. You know, last year I wasn't practicing on Wednesdays, so I was doing more mental stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was tough for me. But, yeah, I'm excited to be full go now.
And for the record, you think you'll be ready OTAs?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Gotcha.
OTAs. You heard it here first. Alan Hearns will be ready. We were talking off the air a little bit. A lot of guys are in town, right? I mean, this has been a process where Blake likes to work out with you guys in the offices. You may not have that chance much right now because you're coming back from the hernia surgery. But there are guys around, the core of this team's around right now and working out together and doing some things together, right? That's a good sign moving forward.
Yeah, it's just building that chemistry, you know. I think everybody's excited right now, you know, just to see where this team is heading, you know, the offseason moves that we made, you know, the guys that we have coming back. It is very exciting for us right now. And just being in the building with the guys is always positive vibes and guys competing. So it's just building that chemistry with the guys.
Hey, did you how much did you follow the free agency stuff?
I followed it a lot. You know, I had some guys coming from Miami, you know, I talk to them a lot, and also, you know, seeing who he's going to get. So I found it a lot.
Nice.
It's got to be. I mean, I talked to you some last off season. And I know it's got to be killing you not to be over at Bishop Kenny running routes alone right now. I mean, have you gone over just to kind of sit and look at the field?
No, I haven't.
That much?
I haven't. You know, yes, it's killing me, but the main thing I got to tell myself is be patient.
Right.
You know, you can't rush this. You know, main thing, being ready for the season and playing all those games. So I keep telling myself patience. Right.
What is the next step for this offense? It was a good year statistically for the group. But what's the next step for the offense?
Consistency. You know, main thing for us, you know, and I think you can see that in the offseason, the moves we made is get the running game going. You know, and as far as the passing game, you know, we got to take it to another level. You know, I know teams are going to be tuned in to what we have going, and all of us got to take it to another level and also improve the running game, like I said. You know, offensive line, I see we made moves with them. And also, it's going to come down to the receivers blocking downfield, and we got two great backs, so I'm excited about that.
On social media, A1, the number one, Hearns, on Twitter. Let's go to social media and grab some questions. And this is your favorite portion of the show. 04 Mr. Steal Your Girl is going to ask you, who was your favorite free agent that we added?
I'd probably say Gibson. You know, I heard he's the ball hawk. You know, one of my guys, Travis Benjamin, he played with him at Cleveland. He told me great things about him. And I saw some film on him. He always around the ball, so I'm excited about that.
Good to have a guy like that on your side instead of the other side facing you, right? I mean, good to line up against a guy like that.
For sure. It's going to be fun, you know, going against him every day in practice, you know, just bringing that competition throughout. You know, I think that's going to make us better, also make him better as well.
Kind of to this in from Trevor Jarson Beck, what do you feel your team needs to improve on to make a run for the playoffs? Do you think about playoffs? Is that in the mindset in the locker room?
Of course, there's always is. You know, the main thing for us, you know, consistency. If you look back last year, there was games where we started slow, didn't finish well, or vice versa. You know, I think for us to want to be a good team, we got to play good for all four quarters.
Dave has talked some, Dave Caldwell, about the possibility of you, Allen Robinson, and Marquise Lee on the field at the same time. How much fun would that be? And in that situation, I guess you might play some slot. Is that something you're comfortable with and that you look forward to?
Yeah, I'm sure I'm comfortable with it. You know, going in the slot, getting Marquise Lee on the field, that's going to be very exciting because everybody knows the potential Marquise Lee have. You know, and I'm excited for him, you know, this offseason. You know, hopefully he stays healthy. You know, we've been talking a lot, you know, but that's a guy, you know. Nobody knows what he grows through as far as not being able to be out there for OTAs and camp. And it's tough when you're not getting those reps then, and then you try to come back for a game. You know, everything's moving much faster. But all of us out there on the field, you know, it's exciting what we can be. If you go back to the Dolphins game where we all was out there, all of us were making plays. You see A-Rob have a catch. I have a catch. Marquise Lee come. So, you know, just getting into that groove, getting all of us involved.
Now, when I mentioned his name, there was a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, some people would think, here's competition between you three. But you're excited about the potential of that situation more than that, right?
No doubt. You know, that's what I love about our group. You know, it's all genuine. You know, we always want what's best for each other. You know, there's never no jealousy or anything like that. If A-Rob doing well, you know, I'm happy for him and Marquise Lee as well. You know, and that's a great thing about our group. You know, we are young guys, but we all can lead in our own way. You know, Marquise Lee, he can stand up and everybody's going to respect it. Adam Robinson, Rashad Green, and that's just all throughout our group.
Throwing Julius Thomas out there, too. That's a pretty good group on offense. Let's go back to social media. Deion Tucker asking, what kind of relationship do you have with the coaching staff? Is it good enough you can give input on plays just for you? For example, a reverse, then throwing back to the quarterback. Do they consider your ideas? Does Ole come to you?
For sure. He always listens. But as far as the reverse throwing it back to the quarterback, nah, it's not like some little league where we're just making up plays, joining the sandlot. But, yeah, that's the thing about Ole that we like. You know, it's very flexible as far as we could tell him we see this and he goes out there and he'll call it for us. You know, it's just we always communicate. And that's the same thing with Blake. You could see him this year. He come off the sideline. He always talking. And, you know, I feel like we kind of adjusted to certain situations throughout the game.
So you're saying if Ole says, hey, we're going to do this reverse pass, coach, I don't know, my arm, I don't, did you back away from that one?
Oh, for
you
sure.
You have Cecil's arm? Is that
nah, I don't have that at all. You see what happened with a B-Walk this year?
You know? You want to relive that?
Mine would have been worse, much worse.
Nice. Mig asking you your favorite spot to eat in Jacksonville. I know you've been around town this whole offseason. Where do you like to go?
I think my favorite spot would be Wasabi. you know, the Japanese spot. You know, I go there pretty often.
Sit at the table, they throw it around?
Right? Yeah, they throw it around, do all the cool tricks.
Yeah. Jay Montalvo, 98. Why the number 88?
Probably because I can't wear number one. You know, I wore number one my whole year, whole life growing up as a child in high school, college. But once I got here, I had number 88, and I was fine with it.
Undrafted guy gets whatever
numbers left. It wasn't available to you, was it?
No.
88 available to you?
Nah, I'm not sure. I don't think. Yeah, I think it's retired.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm not sure if he wore 88. Mm.
Anyway, I've never seen anybody, yeah.
I thought he wore a different number.
Yeah, I think
like
he
in
did.
The 40s
he
or
did.
Something.
So, 47.
47.
Recall,
yeah.
So. All right.
Okay. BCB Batman. Who is your favorite superhero? And keep in mind, Batman reps the bold city. Yes.
I guess I got to go with Batman, then. You just had to throw that in there, so there it is.
That's what they say. I don't know if that's true. Now, this is a video game question. I don't know. Are you in tune with video games? You play?
I suck.
You suck. Okay.
Suck.
Tekken is my world. Asking you a non-football question. What do you like most out of these three? Tekken, Street Fighter, or Mortal Kombat?
I'll probably say Mortal Kombat, you know, just because they had a finishing move. You know, I remember playing that growing up as a child, but I try lately, but I can't get into it, man. I always lose, so, you know, I'm a competitive guy, so got to stay away from that.
The finishing move.
Who's the best in the locker room? The biggest video game guy.
Probably Sendarek.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Probably sitting there.
That makes sense. If he's not the best, he'll tell you. He is, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
All right.
So next step in your progression, getting back. What's next? What's the next couple of weeks hold for you?
Cutting, running routes. I ran today, you know, 50% routes. That felt fine, but as far as just increasing that, and through then, probably go for a go.
We'll see you at OTAs then, Alan.
No doubt, I'll be ready to go.
Alan Hearns joining us. We appreciate your time.
All right, thanks
Alan,
for having
fantastic.
Me.
Appreciate
there he
it.
Is, Alan Hearns joining us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Next week, we'll be down in Boca for the NFL annual meeting. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday coverage from Boca Raton right here on Jaguars.com. We have coverage there each and every year in some capacity. We'll send the whole crew down there this year.
And it was fantastic talking to Alan. I hadn't talked to him since the Super Bowl and end of the season. He's always so good and so giving with his time. And it's always neat to see young players grow up and kind of come into their own. And him getting better with the media and more comfortable being a leader. Core guy on this team, and wouldn't have thought that 2 years ago.
Brian Sexton with us now. He's a guy that...
Speaking of core guy.
So. Yes.
I worked on my core this morning.
All right.
It needed it.
You got the receiving core. Everybody talks that whole group came in together. But Hearns has just worked his way and worked and worked and worked because he understood where he stood, I think, when he came in here, that he had to really outwork everybody to get where he is.
Well, two things that stand out. The first is when he came in, everyone talked about how good he looked, you know, running routes, running in the shorts and t-shirt out there when all the other guys were injured. I kept thinking, what does that matter? I can't tell, you know? I mean, he's long and he can run and all of that stuff, but I couldn't tell that he was as good as people said, oh yeah, watch him. Of course, he's proven it now. Right. The other thing is, I rate guys in the locker room, guys that I want to talk to, right? Guys that I want to go back to, guys that I want candid commentary from when things are good or bad. He's as good as Fred Taylor. He's not quite as sharp as, I mean, Fred would go, that's a bunch of crap. And he's not that way. He doesn't have that edge to him yet. And maybe he never will. But if you say, how are you? How's the hernia? He'll tell you exactly how he feels. And there are some guys that, well, yeah, I'm good, you know. He is really good and very candid. And for guys like us who spend time down there and want insight, not just sound bites, he is as good as gosh, all but a handful of guys who've ever been in that locker room.
Well, it was striking last year to hear Gus Bradley and other people on the team talk about him not only as a player, but as a guy who is a leader because of the respect level that the rest of the team has for him. And for a second-year player on this team, that's significant because it's so young that he clearly is a leader of the offense and a guy people will listen to when speaks. So
here's what I really like about him. He's so nice. I mean, people got a chance to see who he is as a person. His mom is here in town. It's clear she's done a great job raising him. However, on the field, man, when he makes a play, he's letting you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans, I'll never forget the touchdown. I was in the end zone in New York when he scored that touchdown against the Jets. And, I mean, he just got right up there and gave it right back to those New York sports fans, which he's so quiet and unassuming off the field. I didn't know that he had it in him. It's kind of fun to see the switch flipped for him.
He's a player.
Quickly, the Jags have signed another free agent yesterday. Kelvin Beachum made official. It's a left tackle from the Steelers coming off a knee injury. So, hey, there's a competition now. Left tackle, it sounds like, guys.
Well, and I was surprised. I was surprised that they were able to create legitimate competition for Luke Joeckel, because I figured most free agents would look at this situation and say, okay, you can say what you want, but it's clear your number two overall pick is a starter. Beachum coming off the ACL. Needed a spot to be with a legitimate chance to go start. It's not going to be given to him. And it's not a given that either of them will start, but they have created a scenario where if Luke Joeckel is not what he's supposed to be, they have a legitimate option.
There's no denying Luke's skill set. I mean, mm-hmm. you see it out there, the way he drops his hips and slides and all of that stuff that guys like Boselli really dig into. The only thing really missing for him has been that level of competition. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could say that he and Eugene Monroe were legitimately competing back, you know, in his rookie season. Gene was the left tackle. He was the right. So, you know, hopefully Beachum is that guy that gives Luke that edge. Again, one of the nice guys, one of the good guys in that locker room. Maybe he needs a nasty streak that could only come from competition to fulfill his level of potential.
Yeah, I just don't – I always hesitate to say that Luke needs competition in the sense that – I don't think he has lacked motivation. I just think he needs to continue to improve, and that this team needs something to say, if he doesn't improve to the level that we need, we can get better out there. It's going to be interesting to see, to me, who starts where.
Well, that's just, it's so rotund, though. I mean, obtuse. You can't, I mean, you say get better, but how, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's not like he's lacked for coaching either.
Right.
The one thing he has lacked for is competition. So maybe that's the missing element. I mean, Marone is a heck of a coach, you know, and got a lot out of him. The question is, can he get more out of him, and does a guy like Beachum help on that one?
Let's play a game we call
This or That. This or That.
It's called This or That. Today's question.
We should change the name every once in a while. You know,
what would be another name?
I don't
that
know.
Or this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, mix it up a little bit.
Or this, that, or.
The question, either way, is how's the Jaguars' draft strategy affected by the first week of free agency? Does it change anything?
I don't know that it changes, but I think it gives Dave Caldwell what he wants, which is freedom. I think now they don't have to go get anything particularly. I think it gives them the freedom that if Dave Caldwell truly thinks that Miles Jack is the impact guy who can chase and run and make plays, that they can take him. They don't have to take Jalen Ramsey if he's there. They don't have to take Joey Bosa if he's there. I hesitate to use the phrase best available player because I don't think that truly exists in the first round of the draft, but it certainly gives Dave Caldwell more freedom.
Well, it exists in my mind because I think when you're sitting there and Laremy Tunsil slides to you, right? You can take him.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best available player. If he's there, and especially if you're talking about competition, boy, would that spark some competition, right? If there's no – that's the only way that's going to happen is if there is no run on quarterbacks,
right,
and defensive players go 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you're left.
I still think in the real
bag.
World, it's a tough thing to have the number 5 pick in the draft this year, even if Tunsil's there, and not pick defense.
Well, you know,
you need impact.
I totally agree with that. I mean, I'm not saying I want
what you're
it.
Saying is great in
what
theory.
What I'm saying is that in 1996, the Jaguars took Kevin Hardy, who was a nice mm-hmm. player. They should have taken John Ogden, who mm-hmm. was a Hall of Famer. If they had taken John Ogden a few years later when Tony Boselli hurts his shoulder and is gone, oh, okay, well, let's put this guy over
sure.
left tackle. He's pretty good. You're never hurt by taking the best available
no.
player is what I'm saying. And what the... And I don't know what their draft plan was before free agency. And I'm not providing much competition
right.
to you because today and making you better because I'm agreeing with you. And the reality of it is that Dave can do whatever he
right.
wants sitting there. And if for some reason it goes defense, 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 and they're left with a choice between Buckner
mm-hmm.
and Tunsil, well, I can take the guy that makes me better across the board.
I would absolutely love it if they did take Tunsil in that situation.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that front. I think it would be hard for them to actually do it. And there's your conflict in the theory of BAP versus knee.
Well, I mean, we can keep arguing
sure.
all day, but I like the idea of freedom, best available player. I think we're kind of saying the same thing, just with a little different twist.
Should be an interesting few weeks to figure it out, for
that
sure.
That was a good that or this.
Or this or that.
Right.
Or whatever.
Or you could add and. This and that.
That too.
Since we do give them both.
Or this.
Or this with that.
Is what you should do, though. Season tickets available now. Here are the games at home. Houston, Tennessee. The world champs are here. Green Bay, Minnesota. Also, that Oakland game's looking really good, too. The Raiders might make a little bit of a run. Jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. What does that look, Jeff?
We're getting noise up here.
Oh, okay. Let's go to the phone line and welcome in our second guest today. ESPN NFL insider Adam Kaplan is with us. What's up, Adam?
Guys, good to talk to you today.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for coming on with us. Free agency, the first big whirlwind week is over, and the Jags are pretty active there, Adam.
Yeah, it's kind of what I expected. I expected Dave Caldwell and his personnel staff to address several issues. They did. There's certainly some improvement to be made on the defensive side of the football, but I think that they attack free agency pretty well. And they've kind of set themselves up for having competition, and they've had some upgrades, which I think will show when everyone gets to see him in training camp.
Break down the Malik Jackson signing a little bit, Adam. There's been such an emphasis here on edge rusher that I think the impact that a Malik Jackson can make has been lost a little bit. You follow the league as a whole. How big was that signing, and what can he bring?
Well, John, I think when you look at Malik Jackson, he's going to line up a DN and D tackle for them in their 43 scheme, and he's got upside as a pass rusher. But what he is he's tremendous inside, tremendous quickness off the football. I get why people look at it and say that with that contract, and say how in the world could you pay something like that? But I could tell you at the combine that the Broncos really wanted him back. But they just were not going to go to the numbers that he was going to get. I mean, over $14 million a year was a little bit higher than most people expected, but the Jaguars made it clear that he was a priority to sign. There's probably no team right now in the National Football League that's deeper at D-tackle than they are. Jackson will also line up at DN. You got Dante Fowler coming back from his injury. Audric could line up inside or outside. They're going to have a nice rotation. Ryan Davis is a very underrated defensive end, but I think when you go forward, I think you really need to add, if you're the Jaguars, more defensive ends. Probably need to add two. Just pure pass rushers, guys who could get upfield. Because remember, Fowler didn't play as a rookie. Between Alo-Alo, Roy Miller, Sendarek Marks, Davis, Fowler, Audric, I mean, you add a couple more defensive ends, then you're really talking here about potentially one of the better D-lines in football.
Draft starts 6 weeks from tonight, Adam. Who's going to be there at five for Dave to choose from to take the defense to a different level?
Brian, I think depending on how they've graded DeForest Buckner, he could be there. Joey Bosa could be there. I think those two guys, it's going to be close. Obviously, they don't need a quarterback. And I'll tell you what, though, if Jared Goff is there and they haven't graded some of these defensive ends as high, that's where you can get better value in trading down. I think something that Dave would look at. I think cornerback is also where you'd like some, a developmental player, maybe. I think they're okay there, adding Prince Mukamara on a smart contract. But Dwayne Gratz enters the final year of his rookie contract. Colvin is there, and, of course, House. It wouldn't hurt them to add one more developmental corner, but I would agree. Defensive end, to me, is by far their biggest need. And it comes down to how they've graded Bosa and Buckner. That's really what it comes down to. But Bosa's going to go somewhere, I think, between 3, 4, 5, and 10. I think that's kind of the area. And Buckner is a little bit later. Buckner's got tremendous size. I think that's what execs love about him.
Adam Kaplan is with us, ESPN NFL insider. The Jags, you mentioned the defensive line, of course, but on the back end, added a couple of guys, and Mukamura, but Tashaun Gibson is going to be the free safety for the Jags. A couple of things with him. He's a ball hawk, right? He has a lot of interceptions. That's something this secondary hasn't had. And second, he's not the only guy to leave Cleveland this year. There's a mass exodus from the Browns. Is Gibson the real guy there? And can you explain what's going on in Cleveland?
Yeah, JP, my understanding is the Browns made next to no attempt to keep him, which is kind of par for the course with the way that they've treated free agency. They're going to build young. Not only do they want to get younger, I think that they're trying to redo this roster. They're on yet another personnel staff. They're taking a different approach. Gibson was one of their own. They signed him as an undrafted free agent, developed him. Going into last season, he was thought to be one of the best young safeties in the National Football League. Unfortunately, he had a low high ankle sprain. He was able to get over that. Once he got healthy, he actually played corner late in the year when Joe Hayden got hurt. He's got versatility, but he's more of a free safety. Cyprian's more of an inside player. They should be really good at safety with Josh Evans and Sergio Brown behind them. James Sample coming off his injury, then you get to take a look there. They've got an Earl Wolfe. Let me tell you about Earl Wolfe. The Eagles really liked him as a rookie, but he went through so many injuries. So he's pushing for a roster spot. They're actually, for the first time, I think, in the Dave Caldwell era, I think they're actually pretty good at safety.
Adam, you followed this, and we've talked to you about this building process over the years, and you've kind of seen it from afar. Where are they at with it, and overall, considering where they started, how have they done, and where are they with it?
Well, my understanding was when they came in, they thought it would be just a three-year clear-out of the roster based on the schemes that they wanted to run on offense and defense, where the roster was. And then year four, which they're in now, they could really start building this thing. You started to see them get involved a little bit in free agency last year. When you look at it now, you look at the roster and say, okay, they now have a purpose. They now have a direction. Offensively, they have a chance to have a top-five offense. Remember, last year, Julius Thomas missed several games early. Now he's healthy. Mercedes Lewis is back. This is a good young offensive line. I think left tackle needs – I think Luke Jokel needs to be upgraded. That's why Kelvin Beachum is there. They'll have some competition. But defensively is where it's at. And I think with Gus Bradley, for him to run his defense the way that he wants to, you've got to have better pass rushers. And I think that, to me, is the missing link. For this team to take a big jump to 8-8 or 9-7, it's about – the front four, it's about pressure on the quarterback. That and maybe a playmaker at linebacker, or I think Telvin Smith is on his way to being that. I think they're much closer to being 8-8, 9-7 than people realize. But to answer your question in full here, this is the year I think they make the big jump. Big jump, again, is 8-8. I think that's being realistic, not going crazy here. I think they're a playoff team, although you look at that division, it's certainly up for grabs. But let's just let them make a big jump here and give credit to Shad Khan for being one of the most patient owners in an impatient sport.
You know, Adam, I read something yesterday, and I'm sorry, I can't recall the writer, but he questioned Andrew Luck based on last season, and I was just surprised that people are questioning him. You know, he had some injuries last year. Where do you see the Colts and Luck in particular? At the top of this division still? Or are they now in the middle of the pack with everyone else?
Well, I think this is a middle-of-the-pack division. I think this is an 8-8, 9-7 division to be had. Andrew Luck, certainly, he fell off significantly last season. Now, part of it is because he was hurt for most of the season. Their offensive line wasn't great. They're a team that doesn't have a very good defense. I mean, if you look at every team in the AFC South, each team has its warts. Now, the Texans added a quarterback. We'll see how good he'll play. Brock Osweiler coming over to his new team. They've got issues on their offensive line. Defensively, obviously, they've got the best defense in the division, and they're probably going to be the favorite now that they have Brock Osweiler, but I don't think this is a great football team. I think the Jaguars could certainly compete at a high level for this division.
Adam Kaplan, ESPN NFL Insider. Will we see you in Boca next week?
You will, absolutely.
At the NFL annual meeting, we'll look forward to seeing you down there. We appreciate your time today, man.
Guys, thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Adam. Kaplan from ESPN joining us.
Good show.
Yeah, it was a good show.
Yeah, I mean, Alan's always good, and Adam, one of the more underrated national guys in terms of really being able to provide insight on every team in the league.
You know, I was just about to say that. He's a guy that people, they pay attention to Schefter and Rappaport and those guys, but Kaplan always seems to have a really quality perspective on what's going on in the league. I look to his Twitter account a lot when things happen. I think he's a sharp guy.
Has always had his eye on this franchise, too, so good insight there.
We appreciate you watching today. Brian Sexton, John Osier, our thanks to Alan Hearns, our thanks to Adam Kaplan, and thanks to you for watching as well. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. We'll talk to you next week on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.